Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Right, everybody, we're on a streak here at the Chair Shot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. That is right, you are listening to consecutive episodes of Hockey Talk. That's right, everybody, you are here for Hockey Talk, hosted by myself, Patrick O'Dowd. I am joined by my good friend, the lawyer, David Ungar. There have been no Disney trips. There have been no bowling tournaments. There have been no random concerts. There's been no, I had a surprise bowel movement and couldn't make it for the show. There has been nothing intense or insane to stop us. Back-to-back episodes of Hockey Talk. David Ungar, can you believe it?
I got to remember that bowel movement excuse. That's a good one to keep under in the back pocket someday.
Sorry, guys. I can't make the recording tonight. I got to take a huge shit. That's right.
That's unique.
It is a new one. Dave, how you been? We are recording here on a Sunday for a show airing on a Tuesday. It's been a busy week for me. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been hectic as usual. A little, it was a short week because we had the holiday on Monday, and then I took Friday off, needed to burn some vacation time. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, got to watch some hockey here and there, which was cool.
I started to watch some hockey. We had this conversation. I started to watch some hockey and then I turned it off because I sent Dave a text on Saturday where I went, "Ooh, the Blues are on national television. They are on ABC playing the Detroit Red Wings." I had missed the start of the first period. So I switch over to ABC during the intermission report. St. Louis Blues 0, Detroit Red Wings 4. And I went, well, that's enough for me. Then Dave tries to tweet or text me the hope. He's like, oh, hold on. The comeback is on because the Blues scored a goal. I flip back over there. It's 5-1. And I was like, I'm done. It ain't happening today. It did not happen. The Detroit Red Wings defeated my Blues. And I am sad.
I'm sad too, because I needed the Blues to win to help the Caps out.
They had one job and they failed it. 6-1 was that final, by the way. Never got better.
Newsflash, Detroit's good. So there you go.
They are good. You know, I said this a couple of shows ago. I was like two seasons too early on Detroit. I was also I'm still too early on the Blackhawks, though I'm bullish that someday the Blackhawks will not be a last place team in the NHL. I get it. They're still building. They'll get there. But I will be a believer eventually. Dave, we had quite the week that was in the NHL. Today, as we're recording this, is actually TNT's celebration of the NHL. Tons of games on today. A bunch of them going on as we record right now. This is one of my favorite times of year in all of sports. And for a lot of sports fans, it's one of the best times of year because you have the NBA as teams are heading toward their playoff pushes. The NHL, we're heading towards the trade deadline and playoff pushes. NCAA basketball heating up in a big, big way. The other reason that I did not have to watch the St. Louis Blues play hockey is because my beloved Fighting Illini were playing basketball against University of Iowa, where I had to sweat out a game for about 30 minutes of a 40-minute game as Illinois was struggling a little bit. Illinois, sorry, this has nothing to do with anything, and I should actually save this for the new podcast. I'm like, Dave, I'm on 4 podcasts now. Did you know this?
What now? Oh, I know. Are you on the pick and roll? Is that you?
PC Tunney convinced me to do an NCAA tournament push podcast. So basically, for the rest of the month of February and probably a good portion of the month of March, Tunney and I are doing a podcast that will be airing on, I think it's Thursday,
I saw the first episode four days in a row,
called the Pick and Roll Podcast, where if you listen to this past week's Pick and Roll Podcast, you can listen to every one of Patrick O'Dowd's bad takes. Every one of them. I had one good take on that podcast where I told people to watch out for Wake Forest. I predicted them beating Duke this past weekend, and they did beat Duke. But man, I was like, Baylor's gonna be good. They're gonna. I said Baylor was gonna win 2 games this past week. They lost both games this week. I was not great on my takes.
Didn't,
I was just not great on
your
my
Illini team. Had a bit of a rough week, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing is they lost a 7-point lead to Penn State in 35 seconds.
That's talent, kid.
Well. It was a confluence of things, right? Like, it was literally a scenario where everything that could go wrong did go wrong for the Illini. They suddenly just it was really strange because Penn State had been plucky the whole game, and Illinois in the last month and a half, like, their defensive metrics have been not just bad, they've been abysmal. Like, their non-conference schedule, Illinois was a top 20 defense by all metrics and was playing really, really well. And then something just bizarre started happening where they got exposed. Like, they just decided they couldn't stop a dribble drive. They started getting killed in the post, and just suddenly everything that they were doing well, if you go watch them from the first 2 months of the season, they communicated really well. They were really, really tough defensively. And some of this is scouting. Some of this was effort. And Illinois just let Penn State hang around. Penn State would get within 5. Illinois would extend it out to like 10. Or they were up 12 with, I want to say, like 6 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. Like, that, the, by no logic should they have lost that game. And they turned the ball over in a couple of really nightmarish ways. Mm-hmm. Like, we had our senior All-American caliber player try to dribble through a trap. Had the ball taken away with a 4-point lead, that resulted in a layup to make it a 2-point game. The play prior, Illinois has a player go in when you're up 7. They're up 7. They drive the lane. Dude misses a layup. Two Illinois offensive guys who have been killing Penn State on the offensive glass don't come up with a rebound. It results in a 4-on-1 fast break the other way. Penn State guy could have taken a layup to make the game a 5-point game, but with a lone Illinois defender and 3 guys there to get an offensive board, he pulls up and hits a 3. Suddenly, Penn State's up 4. Illinois inbounds the ball. That's where the turnover happens, where the player who tried to dribble through was hoping for a foul. The officials didn't give it to him. And here's the thing is he was fouled, but it doesn't matter. Officials didn't give it to him. Leads to a 2-point layup. Ensuing play, Illinois has to call back-to-back timeouts, Dave, to get the ball inbounds. Gets the ball inbounds, hands it over to one of their other top players, Coleman Hawkins. He, again begging for a foul, travels. The officials don't call the travel. He gets the foul call. He misses both free throws in a double bonus. Penn State comes back with 18 seconds to go, down 2. Same player, guy is down in the shot clock with about, or down in the clock with about 4 seconds to go, heaves a desperation 3. That shot was not going to go in. But the player who just missed the 2 free throws gets overextended on the closeout. Momentum is carrying him forward, fouls the shooter after the ball is let go. Dude hits 3 free throws. Illinois misses the layup, loses by a point. It was a devastating loss. which is why yesterday's game for Illinois was so very important, because they won. They kind of tightened up their defense, especially in the last 10 minutes. But that game had me so frustrated because the starting five for Illinois was playing with no fire. Mm. And it was so bad that the coach, Brad Underwood, yanked all five starters from the floor at the 18-minute mark in the second half after they chucked four straight threes to miss, allowed a 7-0 run for Iowa to turn a one-point deficit into a four-point lead or a five-point lead, something like that. He yanked. He turned around. He picked five dudes off the bench, sent them in. And here's the thing, is that turned around the game, because those guys, while they didn't retake a lead, like they didn't go on a run, they basically held serve and went 8 points for 8 points with Iowa. Like they traded back and forth. And Underwood kept his starters on the bench, threw the under 16 timeout, and then put everybody, you know, yanked everybody from the bench back on, got the starters. And the starters finally got the message and played with some fire and some tenacity. Nothing to do with hockey.
I saw that when they lost the other night, I'm like, oh, Matt's got to hurt.
When he yanked the starters as a fan, and everybody's been here as a fan, I went numb, like completely numb to everything that was happening in the game, because I had literally exhausted rage. And my family gets really upset with me with the way I fan, because I fan really, really hard, and I will yell at a television screen, and I will get very, very frustrated. And they don't like that, because they don't understand how somebody can be that passionate about a thing. But like I went just stone cold quiet. And suddenly, as I'm watching this game unfold, it took a good run at the end of the game for me to at least get back and be like somewhat hopeful, because I'm not sold on the team and where they really are. But defensively, the last 10 minutes of the game, defensively, Illinois looked like a good basketball team.
I used to be that kind of fan, but yeah, the Caps kind of burned me out of that after all those years.
Well, and to take this to hockey, like I used to be that with hockey until maybe this was true for you. For me, finally winning a cup really changed my fandom and my passion.
Yeah.
Because I used to get so angry. And to carry this forward into like fan bases today, so many fan bases, I understand the outraged fan at a team that has dealt with futility. Like, if you're an Ottawa Senators fan and your team is terrible, I feel you and understand and appreciate your outrage. Or a San Jose Sharks fan, like, I understand and appreciate your outrage.
Or a Washington Wizards fan. Yes, that's fun.
Sure,
times.
But I'm keeping it with hockey. Like we're on hockey talk. Yeah. Let's keep it to the hockey talk, because I do want to share a pet peeve story where I'm sitting around on the Facebook and watching. I think I was watching a Bruins game. Like Bruins game was on, and so I was just, you know, I was watching the game and just sort of enjoying what was happening. And while I'm watching this game, a local friend of mine. He pops onto Facebook and is like, the Bruins fucking suck. And I had to be like, dude, your team is in first place in your division. They've been solidly in first. Your team is facing a little bit of adversity. You're in a lull. And now you're like, the Bruins suck. You're the worst kind of fan. Those are the fans I can't stand. The fans that have had it so good for so long that when their team goes into a lull, and make no mistake, and we can start there, because I wanted to start with, we haven't even done a rundown of the show. We can start with just talking about like life around the league and how teams are doing. The Bruins are in a bit of a lull right now. And here's what's funny. Bit of a lull for the Boston Bruins means four straight overtime games. That's what bit of a lull means for the Boston Bruins. Yeah. A bit of a lull. 3-3-4 in their last 10. That's a lull for the Boston Bruins. And you got fans out there being, we fucking suck. Their first place positioning is tenuous. Let's be real. Like they are sitting at 81 points by virtue of all these overtime games. Because Florida has more wins, but they also have more losses because they haven't gone to OT nearly as often as the Bruins have. And it's one of my favorite fluky parts about hockey, right? Is that overtime, you go to overtime, you get a point. Like, it's just, it's one of those, I don't know if I'd call it charming. I don't know how I would describe it, but, you know, they're a point behind the Bruins because they've lost more than they've gone to overtime.
And we've talked for years, they've talked about the so-called three-point game where, you know, teams get down in that last few minutes and nobody's trying, hey, look, let's at least all of us get out of here with a point and then somebody will get the extra point. But yeah, you look at like that extra point makes a big difference in the standings in some places, you know, and I get the rationale like, well, let's all get out of here with a point. And like, you know, the Caps got a point against Florida last night in a game they probably should have won. But, you know, the Bruins, I hear what you're saying, you know, the fan bases of like teams like Boston, who's been perennially good and just kind of, you know, has some issues getting over the top. Colorado had the same thing for a while. Vegas and Seattle fans can't complain. It's like, you guys have no place to complain.
I just don't get bitching about that thing. Like I don't get it. Like, you're not a long suffering fan base. You're getting a bite at the apple basically every goddamn season. What, you missed the playoffs like once in the last 5 years and you're pissing and moaning. Meanwhile, you got teams like Columbus that like are just happy to be in this conversation for a wild card spot, maybe. And I think, like, those fans get to be pissy. Here's another team that's successful all the time that I actually empathize with: Toronto, because Toronto is so close so often, and then they lose.
They're like one of those.
Like, I get that.
They're good, but not good enough teams. And there's a bunch of them, like the Rangers.
Yes.
The Rangers are another one who's like good, but not quite good enough. And Colorado was that way until they broke through.
Let's talk about the Rangers right now, by the way, who today, as we're recording this, they are going to Columbus, woeful Columbus, with an opportunity to win their 11th game in a row, which would be a franchise record for the New York Rangers.
We got to start watching them creeping up on the record.
So. I don't know. I was going to look at their schedule just to kind of see what they've got coming. But, you know, with Shesterkin playing the way he is right now, you know, he made 39 saves yesterday.
If I'm reading this correctly, they've got a home and home with the Blue Jackets. So they're 12 wins in a row.
That's good. that's probably two. Yep.
And then
they're in Columbus today.
Oh my goodness. This will be the game. March 2nd, the two hottest teams in the league, Rangers and Maple Leafs in Toronto. Toronto's won seven in a row.
They have. Austin Matthews, on a streak right now.
You see, like, we were talking about it a couple weeks ago, and I put it in like the recap or the show notes about whether Austin Matthews can get to 70 goals. He's on pace for 76 right now, which is remarkable.
He's on a tear.
And they're on a tear.
We might talk about, we might actually talk about Austin Matthews in the second half of this program, because people, you all don't know this. I got a little surprise for Dave.
But
the second part of the
show, I'm going to say,
he doesn't know what it is yet.
They get the back-to-back wins against the Jackets. Then you got to go to Toronto. Florida comes to Madison Square Garden. That's going to be tough. And then the Blues come in, which won't be an easy game either. So
it won't be an easy game, but they should beat the Blues. Like, I love my Blues. They're coming back. They came back down to earth a little bit. They, you know, after that hot start after the All-Star break, they're, you know, they're 5-5 in their last 10. They lost yesterday. As I noted at the top of the show, and by yesterday I mean they lost on Saturday the 24th, as you all listen to this on Tuesday the 27th. you can't help but be like, these winning streaks, like, and those are the two big ones, as Dave just, you know, noted, that seven game win streak and a 10 game win streak. If both of those teams keep winning, that can be really exciting down the stretch. And you know, again, as the New York Rangers take their turn at history, I don't know that it'll get that far. I do hope they set the franchise record. I hope. Yeah, sorry, did I say? I said Toronto is what I meant. I think I said the wrong thing.
I was just like, looking at the Rangers and Caps are done with each other this year. Split that series. So that was, I mean, when you think about the struggles that Washington has had, but they played New York, the Rangers tough. So, I mean.
Right.
But yeah, New York, man. Shesterkin's playing out of his damn mind. And, you know, they're just one of those teams that you always worried about their scoring, and they seem to be okay with that. But, they're definitely peaking at the right time. I mean, we're 24, 23-ish games away from the end of this regular season. So you worry,
right. Well, worry about, are they peaking at the right time?
Yeah, they might be too
like,
soon.
I would say this: we're at a month left in the season. Like, is this when you want to peak? I don't know if that's really what you
Edmonton
want.
Edmonton may have peaked too soon. Rangers may.
Nah, I think Edmonton's going to be okay. I think Edmonton. Yeah. You know, they've lost two in a row. They're having a rough go in their last 10. They're 4-5-1. So the talent's going to win out there. I think they'll recover. I think they'll be fine. The teams that I think the Blues, you know, we were talking about the Blues. I think the Blues, they're in that third spot for the wild card right now. I just think that they've lost their new coach shine, because that's what happens. You get your new coach boost, and it's just not going to be a Craig Berube situation. Now, that being said, the Minnesota Wild aren't particularly scary. I'd be more scared of Calgary than I would be of St. Louis or the Kraken, who are lurking back there a few points back. Like, yeah. But between the two teams, I don't trust Minnesota. I trust Calgary or the Kraken more than I trust Minnesota.
Yeah, I like your guys' chances a lot better than mine. I mean, Caps have been playing well since the All-Star break.
The Blues are in the conversation.
Yeah, the Blues are in the conversation. The Caps are playing well as they probably can. They probably have lost TJ Oshie for the year. We're still waiting to hear the injury report. But the teams in front of them aren't. It's like when you look at that and you say, well, the Devils, yeah, we can catch them. Tampa Bay, okay, we beat them the other night, but that's going to be a tough sell. And Detroit, who just the Patrick Kane deal with Detroit. Kind of flew
it's
under the radar a little
difference
bit
for them.
It's Matt, and they're going back to Chicago today. But back
when we talked about them picking them up, I said this may be like that is a guy with cup experience. That is a veteran who's playing for titles. Like that's where he is in his career. Like he's a Hall of Fame hockey player. And now it's about getting another ring. It's getting another hoist of the cup.
Think about this: if you are the Rangers or the Bruins, and you know, assume for a second they hold on and they win their divisions and nothing changes. As a division winner, you're looking at playing Detroit and Tampa Bay. And as a division winner, I don't want either of them, to be honest with you.
They're dangerous. You don't want to play teams that are kind of unaware of the moment in a good way. Or, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like that old adage of playing a freshman in a sporting event in college. To use it like they, or a rookie coming up to bat in a pinch hit situation or a big situation that they don't know, like they don't feel the moment in the same way because they're just like, or they're at that point in their career where they're just playing to play.
Or on the flip side, do you really want to play Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs, a team with multiple Stanley Cup appearances who knows how to win, all that veteran leadership, and they probably haven't hit their stride. It's like, nope, I don't want that either. So
no, not at all. So I look forward to this this next week. I think it'll be a good one. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry to kind of gloss over where we are in the NHL, but I'm really excited about getting through the commercial break, because I got a little game I want to play with you, Dave, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm springing this on you because this is a little bit harder than I thought it would be when I did the exercise thinking about it for the show. So I got a leg up. But I think you're going to like it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then Dave and I are going to have a little fun playing a little game talking about some hockey players. You're listening to Hockey Talk here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
So as I was getting ready, welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot if you love what you do, love what we do, and you want to support us. You know, spend a few bucks on a t-shirt, $19.99 for your standard shirt, a few dollars more to get it soft style. It feels great on your giblets. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, Dave. I was ready to not put over the brand.
For the brand. I mean, it's just somebody named Pat putting something over for the brand. I mean, go figure it out, right?
You would think I would do it. So, as I was tooling around, getting ready for the show this week and kind of looking at what was going on, an article came across my eyes while I was on NHL.com, where the NHL.com writers were debating their top United States-born players of all time. And it was funny because I was like, oh, this would be a great exercise. I'm going to write. So I start writing down all these names of all these players I love. And I'm like typing them into Google just to make sure. And it was like Canada. My favorite player of all time until he left for Dallas was at least defined as Canadian American, but he was born in Canada. Brett Hull, his dad was Canadian. And so I thought it would be fun to just spend a little time talking about our favorite American-born players. And so to give you a little time to think about it, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the names that were listed on the NHL site. None of them, by the way, on my personal list of – and here's the thing is – I love my top player. I love the dude, but I hated him because he didn't play for my team and he killed my team. If you haven't figured out, he was a Blackhawk. There's a lot of Blackhawks I respect that I kind of hate. But the NHL.com writers, their list of names in the argument, guy who's getting his jersey retired in Chicago, Chris Chelios, Jim Craig. Sure, you love you some Jim Craig.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Guerin. Val James, and here's another. This is the one guy that was on the list. I was like, oh, good one. I love Brian Leetch back in the day for the Rangers.
He was a pain in the ass.
He was a fucking monster. He was a monster. I loved him. I wasn't a big Rangers fan, but you had to respect Brian Leetch. JT Miller, Zach Parise. Matthew and Brady Tkachuk, which, you know, Keith Tkachuk also. Really, really great American board player. I'm leaving one name out of their list just in case you wanted to recognize it. But I actually Googled this and then went and read an article. I looked at an article by John Bouchacross to see if he had my favorite on there. But just kind of as you're sitting there thinking off the top of your head, I'm sorry to spring this on you. I should have probably told you ahead of time, but I figured you're smarter than me at naming American board players and know some American board players. We just had the anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, by the way.
Yes, we did.
A couple of days ago. You know, for your money, the greatest sports moment of all time. I mean, I don't know. Shot heard around the world is pretty damn amazing as well, but I'm a baseball guy over a hockey guy.
Well, I mean,
and I get it.
Yeah.
Politics, blah, 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 Russia, hostages.
Looking at it neutrally without, you know, I mean, yeah, the Caps winning the Cup would be up there. The Redskins winning the Super Bowl a few times. Okay, that sort of thing. The Nats winning the World Series. But, yeah, the Miracle on Ice for my money is. But anyway, trying to think of American born players, like Mike Modano comes to mind as
that was the one I left off. I left off Modano because, you know, that, is it funny that I remember Mike Modano more for his brief appearance in the movie The Mighty Ducks?
Well, I mean, he's not, I don't think he ever actually, well, maybe he won a cup with Dallas that one year. He played with Hull, didn't he? Or was that later?
Yeah. He has the most goals and points for a United States born player.
Yeah, as he should. And I think, you know, him and Parise, and I'm trying to remember that game in Salt Lake City and who was on the ice for that overtime loss when Sid scores the goal and gives Canada the win. And I know Parise, he'd scored, of course, the game tying goal late in that one. TJ Oshie. I mean, there's somebody who speaking of Olympic moments. Yes.
Olympic moments where that shootout against, was it Russia?
Yeah.
Is that who they're playing? Where he basically single-handedly won the shootout because he was the only one who could make a goal, it seemed like, on the American side of things.
The only one who could score.
But we just talked about him, hottest player in hockey right now, Austin Matthews. Like, you know, his career, he's only 272 games into his career. He's got 153 goals and 123 assists. Like, that dude's going to be huge for a really, really long time.
And with, like, what we talked about a couple weeks ago with the pros coming back to the Olympics, man.
He's
going to be a major force for the United States hockey team, and good luck slowing him down.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm looking at some of the current players that are on this. This is on John Buchagrass's list. Mm-hmm. Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel. We talked about this guy also in the first half of the show, Patrick Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can't look the other way on him. Let's see, a couple of ones that are, those might be the only current, John Carlson.
Yeah, the Caps defender. I remember he was on the under-18 team, and then he, like, showed up in the playoffs against game two of against Montreal and scored the time. Yeah, Carlson, he's a hell of a defender.
What kind of fan are you, man?
Seem like a kid anymore.
My name that I was happy to see. So I don't know if it's just that I have all these bitter bust memories of times when the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Chicago or the St. Louis Blues, and that's why these names stick out. But like Tony Amonte, like respect Tony Amonte, Jeremy Roenick.
Oh, JR. Jeremy Roenick.
God, JR, dude, that guy. He was so good. He was so tough. He'd beat you up. He would score. He could assist. Behind Chelios, barely for top jersey in the Chicagoland area, but not by much. Like, just, he was just so good. And I wish he played for a different team. Let's see. What about American-born hockey players that you might have hated, like Pat LaFontaine? Are there any American-born? How about Joe Mullen? Mullen from the Penguins.
He scored the goal in the Easter Epic. Yeah, LaFontaine.
Joe Mullen, winger for the Penguins.
Phil Kessel. I mean, he's somebody who I kind of look at as like, okay, he's a real pain in the ass. Johnny Gaudreau. There you go, Johnny Hockey. Yep. That's I'm just kind of like looking through some of the lists. And of course, Patrick Kane, who goes back to Chicago. We mentioned him.
I got to represent. Okay. So I wouldn't have thought of this guy because he kind of hit a little dip in his career. He's a little bit on a bit of a bounce back right now, but he has won 2 Stanley Cups. He's won a Conn Smythe and went to school at the University of Massachusetts. Goalie for the Los Angeles Kings, Jonathan Quick.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Jonathan Quick. Hell of a hockey
player. The main reason they won the first cup, for sure. The second one, maybe not. But
you got to be doing something, right?
Yeah, Jonathan Quick was one of the best goalies. Yeah, Pat LaFontaine, you mentioned him. I'm just kind of scrolling through some of these listings. There's your man, Brian Leetch.
Mike Richter, goalie.
Yeah, Mike Richter. There you go. He was a goalie in Salt Lake City, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's another one. Let's see. What do we got? These all familiar guys. Yeah, I mean, these guys have got Brett Hull listed as honorable mention for Team. But he played. Did he play for Team USA or Team Canada?
But he was Canadian born. Right. Like, that's where we were. He wasn't an American born hockey player. So I can't, like, regardless of who he played for.
You mentioned Chris Chelios, but like any list like this, and this guy, I would put him on the list just because of the significance of the goal he scored. He definitely is not one of the best players, but you got to put like Mike Ruzioni and consider him on this whole thing because of
right.
the goal that he scored. And he was not the most talented, most heart of anybody on the list. I'd say, okay, I can buy into that. But you know, talent wise, no. None of the kids on the U.S. hockey team. That's not true. Some of them. Craig had a mediocre NHL career, that's for sure. But Mark Johnson had a pretty solid career, I think.
Yep. What about Joe Pavelski?
Yes, Pavelski. Definitely, Joe Pavelski would be. Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny. I'm looking at a ranker list now. Now that we're just kind of pulling names out and seeing, names Johnson, that I know.
Neil Broughton.
John Van Beesbrook.
Oh, the Rangers goalie, yeah. Neil Broughton, there's a name I haven't thought about in a long time.
Yeah.
He was solid.
Brian Suter. A lot of these are starting to turn into names that I hadn't really. Tom Barrasso.
Barrasso, yeah. Joe Mullen for the Penguins, yeah.
Ryan Miller.
Pat LaFucking-Fontaine. No. God damn.
So if you can't tell everybody, Dave's still a little bitter over Pat LaFontaine.
Goal early in the morning on Easter Sunday, all those many years ago. I mean, I remember watching that game and we're just sitting there. All these two goalies were making unbelievable saves. I mean, just stuff that no way that they made. And so you just knew that the goal that was going to come in was going to be some garbage bullshit. And sure enough, he just takes his shot from the blue line, gets a puck, just turns around and throws it at the net and it goes in after four overtime.
Those are the worst feelings ever. Like as a Blues fan, like Brendan Shanahan did it to us. Like, and we just never forget it. Like it just sits with you forever turns your stomach.
Yeah.
So.
The LaFontaine goal. Who was the guy who scored for Pittsburgh in the fourth overtime against the Caps? I forget. I mean, that's a franchise error. I mean, can you think of any other franchises that have lost multiple four overtime games other than Washington?
No, it's, but again, we all have our own level of suffering, right?
You raised a really good point that winning the cup for the Caps in 2018 and the Blues in 2019 kind of removed some of that angst that we always had every year. But at some point that'll start building up again and you start looking at the collapses that they start to, you know, rear their ugly head again. And you're like,
I've never shied away from the fact that I was thoroughly disappointed with what happened to the St. Louis Blues in the pandemic paused / shortened season where they were playing high level hockey. They were playing high level hockey. Then that pause happened. And when they came back, they just never got it back. And then from there, it was a slow descent into mediocrity where the Blues are kind of back to where they were prior to their cup run, where they're a wild card to middling team that is still trying to find their way. But I am way less intense about my Blues Now that they've gotten that monkey off their back. Like, I've shared it. Like, I wept. Like, I was more emotional over the Blues winning the Stanley Cup than any other of my teams winning a championship. Because I watched what I still consider, it's not the best baseball game ever played, but it's the best baseball game I ever watched. Where the Cardinals beat the Rangers in 11 innings and just the wildest finish I've ever seen in my entire life.
And I'm a baseball fan. And I mean, that grand slam that Howie Kendrick hits in game 5 against the Dodgers is going to live forever, you know, and just sending those fans packing out of Chavez Ravine. And I live 100 miles from LA, so I took great satisfaction. And so, yeah, I get it, you know, but I agree that when the Caps winning the cup after 44 years, and it was even longer for the Blues, and it was just And they did it back to back years. It's like mine in 2018, right, then right. yours the next year. And you start thinking, okay, who's going to be the next long suffering fan base to get something? But yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know if it lowered the expectations. I know for me, my expectations are very tempered with the team because I know they're in a transitional thing. And I love Spencer Carberry as a coach. This kid has got it. He's doing the best he can with it. And I love the fact that he never is complacent. He's always mixing up lines, got Ovi scoring again. So I think, you know, they got some pieces in place. But yeah, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I'm not surprised. Disappointed a little, but the expectation level is altered now. So when I'm sure you feel kind of some of the same stuff about the Blues.
Yeah, like I would like to have been sustained, but
we all want a dynasty, but we don't all have Patrick
right.
Mahomes.
It's also just damned hard to do. Like especially in the NHL. We talked about this a couple years ago when Hockey Talk first started, and we would give Tony a hard time about his Tampa Bay Lightning, but you had to respect him because
back-to-back
they just kept winning.
Back-to-back champs. I mean,
so you got to tip your cap to that.
You do. And they got back that third year to three-peat and they lost, but they were right there.
Yep. Right. And hockey's a grind. I would say more than any sport, the Stanley Cup playoffs are a grind and a half.
Yeah.
And to win a Stanley Cup as a team, I put that up with any other great feat in sports because it really is. It's an amazing feat. So, all right, Dave, great conversation. Glad we were able to have that one. We are going to wrap it up, though, as we are coming up on the end of the show. But before we do that, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the Chairshot Radio Network and on the socials?
Yeah, you can find me on the platform formerly known as Twitter that some of us call Twix now, at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com.
You had to think about that one a little bit.
It's like, wait, what am I doing here? It's like, which platform? Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and on Instagram and Threads at Attitude of Aggression, all one word.
Apologize for that cough there, everybody. You can follow me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for a little while here on the Chairshot Radio Network. I'm now talking nerdy stuff on Mondays with Dave and a slew of other folks. Hockey and music with Dave on Tuesdays. Wrestling with Craig DeMarco on Wednesdays. And for a limited time only on a limited series, college basketball with PC Tunney. On Thursday, we ain't keeping that one outside once the tournament happens.
I imagine
we were a fill-in after his NFL season was over.
Mrs. O'Dowd is probably eyeing you like, what are you doing over there?
Well, the recording schedule works. The recording schedule works and is not a big deal. But anyway, thank you everyone for listening to this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Dave and I will be back with you next week to go over everything that was the week that was in the NHL. Until then, we will be seeing you. You have been listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
It's a show. Now Petrov controls. Back to Harlemov. Skating in on the left side. Into the American end. 55 seconds. But Mikhailov has the puck. Mikhailov sweeping in. Out in front. Backhander goes wide. I think Krejci might have got just a piece of it. Mikhailov. Back out to Billy Legendov. 43 seconds remaining. Morrow, checked into the boards, it comes back to center ice. 38, 37 seconds left in the game. Petrov with it, the Americans on top, 4-3. Long shot, Craig able to get a piece of it to sweep it away. 28 seconds, the crowd going insane. Karlamov, shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Billy Legendov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.